Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 362. Continue our midterms, our mid-year recaps of positions around the fantasy baseball world, hitting the outfield up to wrap up the hitters, going a little relief pitching slash closing action for you as well, which I have a feeling is going to be a disaster when we check that one out. We'll get to that, a little listener league update, and much, much more. But before, some housekeeping. You can find me on Twitter at BDIntrick, podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How you doing, my friend?
We're good, man. Just riding the highs and the lows. The lows more recently with what's his name? Your boy McDonald. It's called Old McDonald's blow up tonight against the Blue Jays, sending me back to earth. But no, I'm good. The NCAA game is out. Came out yesterday. College How football many games 27. Do you play? Actually, haven't. I played two. Have not had much time. Have not had much time lately. Shocked. So we'll see. We'll rev that up. Don't worry. Yeah, doing good. How are you? How was your fourth?
Fourth was good. It was busy.
How was your fifth?
Fifth was much needed relaxation time. Yeah, it was good. It was busy. The third, fireworks bonanza barbecue. So it was awesome. It's what the 4th of July is probably my favorite holiday, period. You got kids running around having a good time. You got food, you got drinks. Weather's usually pretty good. It's a good time. You're not like feeling you have obligated to buy people gifts and stuff. It's like, let's just have a good time. Bring an appetizer, bring your drinks, bring your fireworks. Let's get after it. And as the kids get older, it's getting more and more fun, and watching them run around with their friends and like start to enjoy things. And then when you also have some older friends that, have family that lives south of the border, they have quite the arsenal that comes out at certain time at night. So it was quite
not the incriminate evening. Ourselves to the tens of thousands of listeners we have here on the show.
Oh no, it was great because the cops came and I got to be the person that got to talk to them. So it was very, very entertaining.
Really?
Oh, because quick story time. Story time with Bubba. This was awesome. So we're in a cul-de-sac and the cop pulls into like house two doors down, who last year had like some massive fireworks. So I think they just knew we're going over here. And I got the same trick we use every year. We put the legal ones on the tailgate of the first truck, and the other ones are hiding in the next truck over. And so they see the legal ones. So the cop's just sitting there, just in his vehicle. So I went halfway into the cul-de-sac between me and the cop and lit off a legal firework with sparklers going everywhere and everything. It finishes. The cop turns his reverse lights on, comes over and talks to me and goes, "Well, seems like you guys have the safe fireworks. Just make sure you clean up the cul-de-sac when you're done." I said, "Thank you, officer. Have yes, a nice sir. Night." And then he left, never came back again, and the party started up right away. So it was a good time. Yeah. Every once in a while, I could be the responsible adult in the room. And it was awesome. And then the day of the 4th, we threw our big yearly party fundraiser that we do. And it was awesome. It was a lot of fun, a lot of work, but everybody in the community had a good time. So, we were pumped on that one. Made ribs for 850 people. Plus, there was all kinds of activities for the kids and bands and all kinds of things. So, yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed the 4th of July. And it was a really fun 2 days. But like I said, I was exhausted. And you almost put a wellness checkout for me on Sunday morning.
Had to. Wasn't that concerned about you since Vegas. So, it's been a little while. But glad it all worked out. Glad no arrests. Glad, KC's finest didn't investigate you further. All's well that ends well.
Yep. What about you? How was the 4th in your neck of the woods? I think you went and saw a baseball game.
We had a good time. Yeah. Watched a baseball game. Went to my parents after that. They've got a little viewing spot for fireworks. Kids Perfect. Were all excited for it. And then they passed out at like 20 minutes later. So in Oregon, yeah. It doesn't get dark out till 9:30.
Our fireworks show started at 9:15. Yeah, it's pretty close.
Like my kids were out cold pretty quick.
Yeah, on that front, it was funny because my daughter usually goes to bed around 8-ish, give or take. Our kids are on similar schedules, and so that night, because in that cul-de-sac, like four of her friends all live in that area. So I bought like 100 sparklers. The kids were just going to town on sparklers after sparklers. We left at 11 o'clock. The ride home's 5 minutes. She was asleep halfway home. There like just crashed the second the checking into the vehicle. So
yeah.
Yeah. No. fun was had by all. It was a good
sign time. Of a good evening.
Yep. Hope everybody else had a great and safe holiday weekend. We'll do it again in 363 more days. Can't wait. But until then, we got baseball, and more baseball, Ryan. And as we usually do at the beginning of the month, we didn't do it last week because we were kind of busy with things. Let's do a little listener league update, Mr. Bloomfield. What are we seeing these days? Because Mr. Big Screen's leading the way.
Mr. Big Screen is leading the way. Again, if you don't care about our listener leagues, you can fast forward a couple minutes here. We won't be offended, but we do like to make the listener leagues. Give it that home league touch. I do the weekly write-up every Monday. Did not get it done this Monday, but we're doing that on the show this week to make up for it. Shout out to the basement projector man, the Wisconsinite himself, Eric Leggett, who has been in first, I believe, for 3 weeks now. Second place is Alfred Perez, who has been in the lead for probably 4 or 5 weeks this season. I remember writing up Alfred many times. Third place, Wadeezy, Brandon Waddell. He's just crushing it in many other leagues, but third place overall in the Bubba and the Bloom Listener League, only 15 points out of the overall. So Brandon Waddell is surging at the right time. Gerald Points and James Oss. I'm glad I get to pronounce that one instead of you this month. Those five round out our top five. Man, a name we like to bust is your leadoff for number six. It's been a free fall for this guy.
I'm so glad I get to mention his name, because you and him have this, like, you know, junior high school dance, let's dance, let's not dance little thing going between the two of you. John Wilder is in sixth place. He's been up and down the leaderboard throughout the year, but he still hangs around in the top 10 pretty religiously. So I'll give him his props. I'll let you. Hopefully he's in the top five next time, and you'll have to talk about him. Chris Warrington is in seventh. Michael Tolson is in eighth. Steve Brunn is in ninth. He's had a couple of good auction leagues I'm in with him. Yep. And then James Bowles, who's in the chat right now, he is in 10th place, and he mentioned in the chat that injuries are killing his Bubba and the Bloom team. And, buddy, join the club. It's happening all over the place these days. But, definitely some rough goes in the injury world. But what do you got, 11 through 15?
11 through 15, we've got Brendan Cool, James Geary, Canton Dog, Gregory Hendel. That's right, at number 13. TDK, spreadsheet legend, 14. TDK was, I think, first overall when we did this update last month. So, joining Wilder in a similar free fall. We hope TDK and Wilder can reverse course next month. Roscoe Myrick rounds out our top 15 overall of our 150 leagues. Just ever a reminder, whoever finishes first in this overall gets included registration to First Pitch Arizona, which registration is open for that if you have not listened to our last few podcasts. And we're playing golf on Thursday, November 5th as well, if you want to join us for that too. But that's the grand carrot that we're dangling for winning the overall of these leagues.
Yep, come join us in FPAS. Brian mentioned golf that Thursday, at Dobson Ranch. Looks like we're close to 15 golfers already, so come join the party on that one. Ryan, where are you at in the standings right now?
I am at a, I would say, respectable, for me at least, 53 out of 150. I am, I think, fifth in my league with 91 points. So we're on the peripheral. Certainly not as good as you, but you know, I try and stay close.
Yeah, I'm 26th overall, third in my league. Injuries have, I was in first place at one point in the overall this season. It's been a free fall for myself as well with the injuries. It's happened in a few of my leagues right now. I'm hanging on to the top three, hoping to get healthy and keep battling back, but these are tough leagues. We say it every year, and people might kind of scoff at us because they're, you know, $50, 15 team leagues, but they're active as heck. And these guys and girls want to get after it. So it's pretty, pretty impressive. And speaking of getting after it, Ryan, who's one of the bigger risers to our surprise since the last time we talked about this?
It's Raj. It's got to be Raj. Raj was on the struggle bus. I think down to like 148 out of 150. It was pretty rough. The guy is clawing back, 121 now, which again, doesn't seem like much, seems like small potatoes, but that's a big jump to go from way last when, you know, do you really want to do fab every Sunday when you're that far low? So shout out Raj, 120 and on the rise. Maybe he'll catch Wilder in a couple months at this rate.
That would be something else. Like it's weird because there's so many these guys we want to meet in Arizona, but I don't know if I want to meet Wilder in Arizona. I think I still stand by the fact I want to go to a Cardinals Reds game with him and Soa. That's what I
yeah.
want. That's what I want. I don't need Arizona. I want that for nine innings of just those two. That's the goal in mind on this deal. But yeah, listener leagues are going well. We'll keep you guys updated early August to see where things are going as we keep ramping up. But really good stuff. And Ryan's weekly write ups have been awesome to kind of let everybody know not just the top 10 players, but well in the last weeks and all that kinds of stuff. So really, really cool. Yeah. Like you said, home team vibe.
I just like to give the shout out to folks who just overall who are doing well, but then also in the last week, I like to do that. I think, it looks like people read them according to our Patreon numbers. So we'll keep doing them.
And last but not least, we can't mention everybody, but I got to throw it out there. There's the kid. The kid does pretty well in 15 team leagues.
Yeah,
he's 18th overall right now.
18th, one of his worst teams too. I'm sure only 18th overall. So,
yeah, that's Ben Tidd for those that don't understand the nickname. But the kid is 18th overall. It's just what league does he not have a chance to make money in? It's good to be a kid.
Cicchini in the chat as well, 17th overall. We'll give him his flowers as well. So just missed the 15, but Cicchini, since you're a loyal chatter, we'll hit you up. Well done. Beat Bubba, please.
Hell, he's doing it right now. He's working his butt off to do it. It's going to be a dog fight to the end because I ain't quitting. After last year, you and I had some rough performances last year. So it's where we're getting back after it this year. All right, let's get to a little bit of news and notes before we talk outfield and relievers. And the big one that dropped on Tuesday, Ryan, like this is big. Connor Griffin, who, preseason, was he getting drafted too early? This and that kind of got held back a little bit. Gets the call, looks the part after a little bit of a slow start. Then he has like the UCL injury, goes and rehabs the forearm injury, rehabs that. He comes back, he's looking good again. But now Connor Griffin is going to be out 8 to 10 weeks with a torn tendon in his left middle finger. He has to have it in a splint for 6 weeks, hope it heals, essentially. That's the process. And then start rehabbing back. So 8 to 10 weeks is 2 to 2.5 months. I'm not great with math, but that puts us in the middle to end of September, and I think the season ends the last weekend in September.
Which would make Griffin a drop, unfortunately. That sucks. We'll end the season, maybe not end the season, but .276 batting average, 20 bags. Like this is a pretty great debut, 247 plate appearances for Griffin. Jared Triolo played shortstop today. I don't know if that interests anybody. He plays everywhere, does not play anywhere particularly well. So I think we've exhausted Jared Triolo options on this podcast.
Yeah, there's nothing that's really clicking the buttons for me right now. Unless they called up Jack Brannigan again, that's not going to do it for me either. So yeah, I'm kind of waiting and seeing if there's anything of actual relevance on that. But for now, there's nothing for me. All right, Byron Buxton, he missed like 4 games last week with a hip injury, comes back on Saturday, on Sunday. On Sunday, re-injures the hip the hip. On Tuesday, Byron Buxton hits the IL with a hip strain. Hopefully it's the minimum because Buxton's been darn awesome this year. Alan Rodon was recalled from AAA where he had 9 home runs and 3 steals while hitting .285, Ryan. He'll probably get some run based on this Twins team. He's another left-handed outfield bat, though, is the biggest concern I have.
Yeah, and it's kind of crowded there. But, yeah, could be Rodon in a strong side platoon. Let's see how that turns out. I don't know. You read off the surface stats, AAA, 8.5% barrel rate for Rodon, who's 26 at AAA. So a little bit seasoned. I'm not too excited about picking up Alan Rodon for fantasy purposes. I just don't know if the ceiling is there, and there are playing time questions as well.
Yeah, no, not opposed to that. They faced a lefty on Tuesday, and that doesn't tell us much of how that'll play out. But Ryan Kreidler did play center field while Buxton was out versus righties. So he's the shortstop outfield Swiss Army knife. We talked about him on Fab last week that at least in 15s, if he continues to get everyday reps, he's going to have some viability throughout the season.
Yeah, agreed. I we talked about him last Thursday, but yeah, just to reiterate, above average power skills so far, 129 plate appearances for Kreidler, 5 homers, 256 batting average. He runs a little bit, hasn't run successfully yet. He's over 3, but you add playing time on top of that. Like I'd rather Kreidler than Alan Roden, I think.
Agreed. Full agree. So something to watch at, and we'll keep you updated in the coming episodes. The Brewers, they promoted prospect Luis Lara, who got his first game action in the doubleheader on Tuesday. He is hitting .321 at AAA with 9 homers and 24 steals, Ryan. Ben made a great comp. He's kind of what you want Nico Horner to be, is what it feels like based on those AAA numbers. What are your thoughts on Luis Lara, the 21-year-old?
Yeah, that's what you're kind of hoping for, although not, I guess, not this season's version of Nico Horner, but that's what you're hoping for with Luis Lara. I unfortunately have another comp on the same team, same age, same pretty much exact skills, yeah. And that's Cooper Pratt, which isn't the most optimistic. You never know how things are going to start, and what's going to happen, but it's basically the same power profile between Lara and Cooper Pratt. Very good plate skills, like a ton of contact. That's good. And the running game is there, but we'll see how it turns out. I think there are more playing time questions with Luis Lara as well, right? Like he started the doubleheader, second game of the doubleheader tonight, and Garrett Mitchell sat, but like, I don't think Garrett Mitchell is going to be sitting regularly.
I don't think so either. Mitchell's been playing great. I was actually surprised to see him sitting, but they probably said, well, the kid's up, let's play him. Yeah. See what he did. He played fine. Like there's nothing bad. I think what it really comes down to with Luis Lara is it's Lara versus Sal Frelick to me. Frelick hits for average. There's no denying that, but he doesn't do a whole lot of anything else. Often there's no power. There's limited speed. Like could Lara break that mold? That's like the only opening I see for now, unless they want to force the issue, which if they sit Garrett Mitchell, I know he's been very fluky this season. Let's be real. He's played pretty darn good. Yeah. And I'd be surprising to see him get replaced by Lara that easily, at least.
Yep. Agreed.
So, did you see in that game, by the way, Jackson Churio, it was 10-2, and our buddy Cortez, who might have pitcher eligibility on Fantrax now.
See of Cortez?
No, not Cortez. Sorry. What's the dude's name that I'm just totally blanked that I'm totally bitter about? With the Cardinals of Brian Torres. He came in and pitched in the ninth when they were down 10-2. So Jackson Churio hit left-handed against him and flew out to the wall as a lefty.
That's awesome.
Like, that's Jesus. That's the good stuff, folks. But all right. Then the last bit of news, nothing we can do with it now per se, but probably leading to drops anyways. Ryan Helsley getting a second opinion. Not great, Bob. Connelly Early getting a second opinion. Not great either. So just something I wanted to bring up to those that might be sitting around. Like Ben and I talked about it. I dropped Helsley last week, actually. I'm dropping both. I don't know if you have anything you'd like to mention on those two.
I think I held Early in my 15-teamer this past weekend, but leaning towards a drop. Helsley probably. Second opinion's never great. You and Ben covered the Tyler Wells, as well as other Fab reviews out there, covered the Tyler Wells bidding last week. So I think that is now gone in wake of Helsley. And we don't want much to do with the Red Sox fifth starter. It appears that is Patrick potentially Sandoval. Patrick Sandoval.
Come on. Another lefty to join the rotation.
That's true. That's a good, it's a good pull. 4 out of 5 lefties, though. Who knows about Ranger Suarez if he's healthy? But no, do not go out and speculate on Patrick Sandoval, please.
No, wait and see how that one goes. Ranger Suarez is just throwing a bullpen on Thursday with the hopes of not going on the IL. And then just one little nugget that when I was doing the news and notes for Tuesday evening, for the Tyler Wells folks out there, and I have some shares, not where I needed them most, but I have some. Let me know if this name rings a bell to anybody. Felix Bautista, he had surgery on his shoulder last summer. He's throwing bullpens and set to throw live batting practice and potentially start a rehab assignment in like 2 weeks.
Really? Hey, that's out
like,
of nowhere.
like if he, that's why I noticed it, started looking at it. And like, it's still a lot has to go right, but they're talking in August, sometime in August, return for the mountain. And we know how good he can be. And I'm not saying he's going to walk right back into the closer's role, but would you be surprised? Would you be surprised if he walked right back? I wouldn't be. So keep that in mind. He's probably going to be, no one's rostering him. So he's going to be a fab pickup, of course. But that name brought back some memories when I saw that on Tuesday.
Did not expect to hear Felix Bautista or the Mountain. That's a good recall. I totally forgot his nickname.
Yep. The Mountain is you're getting ready to climb the mountain is the best way I'd put it.
There's only one true mountain on this show. We all know who that is. Mount Massey.
Hey, but the Royals have scored 31 runs in two games. It's like, my goodness. Yeah. Tyler Tolbert, if anybody's heard of that guy, had 12 straight hits. Like, it's wild.
You know I have.
Yeah, oh, definitely. All right, let's get to it. Let's talk outfielders, Ryan, as we recap outfielders for the first half of the fantasy baseball season. So let the listeners know if they're watching on YouTube what they're looking at.
Yeah, so we are continuing these position recaps, same form as the infield positions. Outfield, since there are more, we are going to cover a wider swath. We're looking at outfielders 1 through 80 tonight. The current graphic we've got up, the current Bloom board for those of you watching on YouTube, is outfielders 1 through 20 and then 21 through 40. Same formula as last time, though these numbers are updated through Tuesday or through Monday's games, pulled them Tuesday afternoon. But yeah, we've got the preseason ADP by NFBC Main Event. This is just a refresher if you haven't listened to our infield episodes. That's how these guys are sorted. So as we go kind of down the list, and won't hit every player, of course, but that's how these guys are grouped. And then we've got the Fangraphs player rater for 5x5 leagues. Overall, what they've done this season, overall ranking, and then position ranking as well amongst other outfielders. A lot of different ways we could take this. If I'll just mention one key point, I'll throw it back to you, Bubba. Thinking back to draft season, it was just interesting how, you know, we said get an early shortstop, get an early outfielder, or get two of them in your first two picks. Early outfielder has not really worked out all that well. You've got general failure at the top, three of the top nine. Only three of the top nine that were drafted in the top nine before the season are in the top 20 right now, per the Fangraphs player rater. And Fernando Tatis barely misses that cut. He's at outfield 21, and I would argue that has been a pretty dreadful miss as well, though turning it on a little bit. And I made the case for him on the second base show, but or on the previous show. But yeah, it has not been good for what we thought was a very elite cream of the crop outfield class. Aaron Judge, Ronald Acuna, Kyle Tucker, Jackson Churio, though that was injuries, and Wyatt Langford have all been pretty disappointing so far, and probably Tatis as well.
Yeah, lots of injuries. I'd be willing to say a couple of these guys are turning it on, and it'll be a lot better as the season goes along. But I'm not going to give away the surprise, but the breakouts that are in the top 40, my God, there's like,
yeah,
10 of them at least. Yep. So that says a lot about what took place at the outfield position, even when we get deeper at the position. But let's just get to it. Outfield 1 through 40, we'll just kind of speed run through these. You mentioned, you know, Judge and Acuna were the top two outfielders. They ranked 29th and 62nd, respectively. Obviously, IL has ruined so many of them. It's crazy that Judge is still 29th, considering how long he's been on the IL for. That's a fair point.
That's
quite the impressive situation. I'd love to know what he was when he went on the. He had to be a top two, probably.
Well, from a game theory standpoint, like you mentioned, and we'll talk about, there are a lot of breakouts at outfield. If you took Judge while he was playing and you timed a breakout pretty well, that position on your roster is doing far better than 29th overall at outfield.
And so then we'll get to the three top 20s. You have Juan Soto, J-Rod, Corbin Carroll. They went 6th, 10th, and 14th in your draft. So the first round picks still, they're 13th, 19th, and 16th at the position. That is Soto, J-Rod, and Carroll. Soto, horrific start to the year, one might say. He's been on fire of late. So he's one I'm pretty confident will be a top 10 when things are said and done. J-Rod, let's use the old phrase, second half player. We know that with him. I'm being sarcastic. Just
don't albeit concussed at the moment.
Yeah, I hit in the back of the head. That's a rough one. And then Corbin Carroll is just hell. Like when he's healthy, he's a machine. But we know how that goes with Corbin Carroll.
Yep, and even still, like so, you mentioned the ratings for these guys for Soto, Rodriguez, Carroll, 13th, 19th, 16th at the position overall. I mean, we don't have a top 12 outfielder. We have zero top 12 outfielders that were taken in the top nine. So again, it's you can kind of slice and dice these numbers and arbitrary endpoints or whatever. But in general, like it hasn't sunk you, of course, if you took Soto, J-Rod, or Carroll. Like those have been fine picks. I'm not gonna, not the reason why you're not winning your league or whatever. But it's just interesting to not see this cream of the crop, really any of them, in the top 10 through a little bit over half the season.
Yeah, like you expect. Yeah, because I was just at the position. We're talking overall. Soto's 44th.
J-Rod, I mean, overall, 75th, yeah.
Carroll 58th, like burying you. Like the best overall in the top nine is Soto at 44. That's rough. Yeah. And that's within the top 40 picks of the draft. So not great at all. And then you got Kyle Tucker, who, like, most people just can't figure out what the heck's going on with this guy. He's hitting 24 after tonight's game, 248, seven home runs. He's got 53 runs. He's got 45 RBIs, six steals. He ain't cutting it. And it's really, really bizarre with him. We have a listener question on him later, but do you have anything on Kyle Tucker?
Honestly, 30th at the position is a little bit better than I thought. And some of that might be those runs in RBI, like the 53 runs. That does help a lot. But it's been a brutal season for Tucker. But even with all that, still outfield 30. Again, not what you drafted at all. But still in strike, a hot streak away from, not being a terrible pick.
Jackson Chourio, ADP 21. He's 109 overall, 32nd at the position. Spent a bit of time on the IL. He's only played 55 games this year, but you got 286, 13 homers, six steals. Honestly, like, he's playing very, very well. It's just that IL stint set him back quite a bit.
That was the gut punch IL stint too, right? That was before the season even started. Was that opening day they announced
because he got hit during the World Baseball Classic.
That's right.
But then he played in the spring training.
That's right.
And then we found out, it was right around opening day.
Yeah, so that sucked.
Yeah, I think, like you mentioned, Wyatt Langford hurt. Now we get to the kind of heavier hitters at the position. We'll ignore Brent Rooker. He's done for the season. But PCA, 41st overall, 6th overall, 41st ADP, 6th overall, 3rd at the position. Yordan, 43 ADP, 3rd overall, 2nd at the position.
Ooh.
James Wood, ADP 57, 2nd overall, 1st at the position. The top three at the position, PCA, Yordan, James Wood, went at the end of round 3 or end of round 4. So, worked out if you waited a little bit in the outfield.
It has worked out if you waited a little bit in the outfield. Though hold that thought for just a second. But real quick, I'm going to take a massive L on James Wood. Holy crap, was I wrong on this guy. This was him and Roman Anthony, who are going right next to each other on the screen here. 57 and 63 ADP were my two biggest outfield fades. And Anthony obviously hasn't been good and now injured. But James Wood, that's a game-changing pick. I'm in second place in two of my leagues right now, and first place in both of them both have James Wood, and it's rather frustrating every day to have a leadoff home run set me back.
We need to see a second half from James Wood this time. That's the
kicker. That is true. But like,
I'm not. Yeah, he's been awesome.
He's been awesome. Another kind of takeaway here is, okay, so do you ignore the second half? PCA also had a bad second half, and obviously he's third overall. Is a takeaway, okay, we can, this youth movement in outfield, I don't know. What if you took Roman Anthony? What if you took Wyatt Langford? I mean, those guys, Langford was going right around these guys. Roman Anthony was going right around these guys as well. So I don't think it's as clear of a slam dunk, but it is pretty wild to see outfielders 1, 2, and 3 all grouped together here between picks 40 and 60 from preseason.
Yeah, James Wood was a tough one just because I remember in the preseason writing an article based on a Bloom board he put together for me, and like the first half, second half numbers, yeah, the swingings missed, the strikeouts were humongous for James Wood. But I remember in that article I mentioned hard hit was still very good. He's still elevating the baseball. Like everything you wanted to see were very, very good. he wasn't making contact. He was swinging and missing all the freaking time. And that was tricky. And hey, I don't have any James Wood either. So I'm not saying like I took him, but it's one of those that should we stay? It's tough because we always second guess things, but it's like, if you look at your whole 30 picks, if you trusted your process of, yeah, I don't like guys that swing and miss a lot, it probably like, you get the good and the bad throughout the deal, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's just the good is starting to outweigh the bad. When you look at a James Wood, and like, we're both guilty of that, but is like PCA on the other hand, like, he showed more warts, I would say, than James Wood. James Wood's skills were still very good. Where PCA, he really hit the skids in the second half. Like, he looked overmatched at times in the second half. But hey, they turned it around in a big way so far.
Yep.
And just a hat tip, it's amazing what a healthy Yordan Alvarez can do.
Yeah, I mean, the Yordan, that was strictly a health, you know. How you want to roll the dice on the injuries? Maybe we didn't expect a Yordan to be quite this good, of course, but you roll the dice on injured players, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Yordan Alvarez, good God, he's been awesome.
Yeah, you got two Red Sox. You mentioned Roman Anthony at ADP 63. He's deceased. Jaron Duran, ADP 71. He's 44th at the position, 163 overall. And then we go to Byron Buxton, who was one of the best hitters in all of baseball for fake. He was on so many winning teams last season.
Mm-hmm.
Probably going that way again this year. ADP of 80. Most were kind of still wary on, should I take the chance on Buxton? He's getting older. He was healthy for a year. What do we do? Well, 19th overall, 5th at the position. Absolutely outstanding from Buxton. He's been banged up a lot, too. And he keeps playing through it, misses a couple days here and there. Hopefully his hip injury isn't too bad, but he's been absolutely outstanding also.
He has. The question, of course, with Byron Buxton entering the season was, you know, great year, but regress to what? There was none. There has been no regression for Byron Buxton. He's been just as good. So, yeah, let's see the severity of this hip deal right now. But we all knew that was kind of part of the package. And pretty much any projection is going to bake in some missed time for Byron Buxton. But yeah, man, this is quite the, I don't call it late career, but mid to late career skill surge for Buxton. For a while there, even the skills weren't that great for a couple years with Buxton. And that really threw me off. It was the health risk, and was this guy still good? And Byron Buxton has answered that with a yes, I am still good.
Yeah, so ADP 41 through 80, you have four of the top five, and then you got three guys that are 104, 186, 44th at the position. So really, like, who did you take and when did you take him?
Mm-hmm.
We'll go past Jackson Merrill, who's had his moments, but it's far from what you're hoping. And it's like, if you took one of those guys early and this was your second round, this is where things get interesting for you. Riley Green, ADP 86, he's 18th at the position. Cody Bellinger, ADP 95, 22nd at the position. O'Neill Cruz, 98th ADP, 11th at the position. He's missed over a month and a half of baseball, and he's coming back after the All-Star break. And then the one and only Randy Rosarena, ADP 99, he's 9th overall. So we have an 18th, a 22nd, an 11th, and a 9th overall at the position, going ADP 86 through 99, Ryan. This is where I'm not, like, you shouldn't have waited to get your outfield one here, but if you got an outfield two here, you did pretty good.
Yeah, and I remember us talking too, like, that we like this kind of general pocket around 100. Michael Harris, 108, who you haven't gotten to yet, but he's the number 10 outfielder right now as well. So yeah, a couple busts sprinkled in there with like Soderstrom, Springer, and of course Merrill. But this was a pretty fruitful pocket. Riley Green, nice to see him kind of along the same lines as Buxton. Like, certainly that both, well, did have health issues early in Green's career, but also like busted out in 2025, you know, regressed to what? And Riley Green is sustaining that. So Cody Bellinger, since he came back with the Yankees, that's been to be expected, really good. O'Neill Cruz is the one for me where did not think O'Neill Cruz had this in him. And even with the missed time to finish 11th, I'd like to see what O'Neill Cruz was when he got injured, because he might have been pushing top five at outfield. Hell of a season for O'Neill Cruz.
Yep, looking forward to getting him back for Vegas. That's going to be very, very helpful. Take you down from the top.
Vegas?
There.
What the hell are you talking about?
The Vegas Listener League.
Oh, he's on your team?
Yep, he's one of my IL spots on the bench. He's one.
All right, O'Neill, take your time, buddy. You don't want to re-aggravate. Spend some time with J-Ram over the break. Take your time. Be good.
So you mentioned Soderstrom and Springer. Soderstrom should be back from the IL shortly. Springer's, he's old. I think that's catching up with them.
But did we expect this? Like, especially from a healthy, somewhat healthy Springer. Like, good God, he's been awful.
The Jays have been awful. Look at Vlad. Well, I guess it's horrific on that team. They're not clicking. Ernie Clement's their all-star starting second baseman. So I love Ernie Clement, but that says
you do? A lot. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
really mentioned Ernie Clement before, but
sorry, EC Light to ring a bell for you.
That's right. But just real quick on Springer. If you would have said he would have 279 plate appearances, so almost a full season, some missed time there, and be 95th at the position. It has fallen off for as wild as the breakout was last year for Springer. Equally horrendous the follow up.
And I'll give him a little bit of the doubt. He missed time with the foot injury, came back, fouled the ball off of it again, has played through it since then. So who knows how healthy he is. But yeah, it's been brutal, really bad. Michael Harris, who you mentioned, 10th overall, and he's kind of slowed down of late too. He had that just torrid start to the year. A little dad strength as well has helped out a little bit there. Lou Bob's been hurt. And then it's just bleak, man. Sedan Rafael is 33rd of the position. Joe Adell's 43rd. Teoscar's been hurt. He's 60th. Yelich is 68th. Altuve 77th. Then you got Seiya at 37. So there's a pocket of six outfielders that really, I'm not going to say have hurt you, but they haven't helped you a whole lot either.
They haven't helped a whole lot. And it gets even worse after this. Yeah. Like there is not much green at all on the right side of this board. Really, outfielders, if I'm just eyeing this, outfielders like 26 through 40, it looks like only one of them has returned their ADP. Two of them, say Suzuki and Andy Páez. Like that's and Jack Kags is on par. So, but everyone else has been, it's been a pretty brutal pocket in those mid rounds for outfield.
Yeah, there's Andy Páez, a 7th overall, 25th overall, 7th at the position, with an ADP of 146. That's panning out well. But the problem is, Jacob Marcy going right after him. A lot of people are on that train. That has not panned out. Jack Kags is up to 42nd in the position. He's on the rise. He's just hitting everything right now. So he's going to be, I wouldn't be shocked if he's top 20 by the time the season's over with Kags. Doyle might not make it back to the bigs this year. Nemo's always hurt. Taylor Ward doesn't hit home runs anymore. So that's a problem. Yeah. Law Dog doesn't, start very often. Quan stinks. Then Noelvi Marte spends more time in AAA than the bigs. So yeah, that rounds out the top 40.
pretty depressing. Give a shout out to Mr. Chasco in the chat. Says NFBC absolutely nailed Jack Kags' ADP. The hype was real, but the price was baked in both the upside and the risk. That's a good call. For as bad as Jack Caglione was in 2025, to see that ADP settle at 157 seemed to be pretty spot on. Some smart drafters there, looking at the skills and just the upper trajectory for Kags. And returning his value so far and certainly trending toward being a very nice pick there. I don't know.
Real quick, I wonder how many people held on to him, though.
Yeah, that's true. In 12s, I guess probably in 15s, he wasn't a drop consideration. But it's a good point. Very good point. If I had a fab tracker, I could I could probably actually answer that for you. But, I don't know. Who else you want to hit on here? Jacob Marcy, I'll take another L for that one. Did get steals, I will say. I don't know.
Walk-off home run on Tuesday.
Yeah, which was great. Off the Mariners, and also meant Max Meyer didn't get a win, so that's cool. But the steals were there for Marcy, and honestly, the playing time leash was there too. It was just he's been so bad for so long that the Marlins at some point had to not play him every single day. So I don't know. That's a tough one for me. Marcy, you have on a ton of teams. The one time I go with the youths, man, look what they do to me.
They got you. I'll take the L on Brenton Doyle. I thought there'd be a bounce back after last year's situation. He's been dropped everywhere for me for a while. So it's not like I was enduring it forever. He was dropped before he got hurt and since, AAA, but, that's been a rough one. I honestly didn't have a ton from this pocket, though. That's the crazy part looking at it. I avoided a lot of this negativity because I didn't want Law Dog, I didn't want Quan, I didn't want Mark. Like, there's a lot of these guys I don't have shares of. Nimmo, I have a couple cheap auctions. I got him for a couple bucks in auctions in 15s because I thought the floor would be good, and it's been very depressing as well.
Real quick, Andy Pajes, seventh overall. We'll end it on a positive note here. I think the takeaway, one of the takeaways here, and you never want to overreact to one player, but Pajes was the one who had like the terrible postseason. I feel like that's why he dropped it, because the skills in 2025 are really good. Postseason was terrible, but the playing time was still there. He still had a job entering the season. That was a nice buy the dip discount there.
Yep, with you as well. What do you got for us on breakouts? Because I hinted at it at the beginning of the segment here. A lot of top 40 outfielders that you were not drafting this year.
Yeah, so here are the top 40 draft. I'll list a few of them. I'll list the top 20, and then we'll touch on the other ones. There are a lot, and I think that is a takeaway. We've talked about pretty much every Fab show this season, Bubba, that there has been outfield talent available on the waiver wire, and that has turned out. So these breakouts, quote unquote, are guys who are currently in the top 40, but were not drafted in the top 40. So varying degrees of how you want to use the word. But Jordan Walker is number 4 outfield right now. Brandon Marsh, number 8, which is just random as hell. Jake Bowers, your guy, 14th at outfield. Jake McCarthy, 15th at outfield. Mid-year mascot, Casey Schmidt, rounds out our top 20. He finishes 17th, or is currently 17th outfielder right now. And all those guys were drafted outside the top 40 or not even drafted at all in some of these cases. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 got 5 of our top 17 were not drafted in the top 40 entering the season.
Yeah, no, this is one of those where I'm looking at this list and I'm not even going to talk about the next list because I have a lot of shares of these, like Bowers. I was on everywhere after week one, essentially, or even opening week Fab. That was a big one. Jake McCarthy and Schmidt. I'm a big fan of all of that went on there. They are on rosters for me, but it's crazy to look at. Like you mentioned Brandon Marsh. What? Jordan Walker, he's 4th at the position, but he's probably close to top 15 overall. I know Ben's working on something he was sharing with us, and he mentioned it on Bench with Bubba yesterday that he's coming out with for the Patreon, like he does every mid-season, about like the best gainers and also losers in dollar values so far this season. And yeah, Jordan Walker's having a heck of a season, if you didn't know already. So pretty darn impressive that what you can get in Fab. And it's just like looking at these and other positions, and I know it's all, again, hindsight, but you try to learn from things. And with doing the Fab show every week and using the Fab tracker you have to kind of look at numbers helps a lot as well. Is being more aggressive on these guys early is not the worst thing, even if it doesn't work, because you can spend less money later. Like it's worth taking these shots when early on you're kind of being skeptical and only spend maybe $25 or something instead of the $100 is necessary. And again, it doesn't work for everybody, but when it does, like Jordan Walker could be carrying your team right now, and that goes a long ways.
So. And I don't think that's just a 2026 trend. We've been saying that for a couple of years, the availability for outfield in the wire. So, that's kind of been the case for a while. Real quick, Jung-Hoo Lee, 24th outfielder. These are the rest of our breakouts. Carson Benj, 26. Cody Clemens, 28th outfielder. Mauricio Dubon.
Unbelievable.
34th outfielder. And plays 8 other positions, so that's even better. Your guy, Zach Geloff, 36th outfielder. And partial.
On the march up still on the march up.
And on the march up, that's right, on back from the IL. And, yeah, only a partial season there to get 36th overall. He was completely undrafted. And then Garrett, I was 1 year too early, Mitchell, at outfield 39 for you there, Bubba. Yep.
That one stings. And I've added and dropped him multiple times this year in some leagues because he's been very, very streaky. But streaky enough to be 39th overall is pretty impressive with Garrett Mitchell. But, yeah, the Geloff one is one. It's funny because you look at Mitchell, Geloff for sure, guys I've been all over the last couple of years. It just hasn't worked. So it's good to see at least, you know, part of me wants to tell myself I had an idea these guys were good, but it didn't work out. So, I guess we'll see how that one pans out. All right, let's get to 41 through 80, Ryan, where there's actually, I think, a little more green on this board than there is in on the other boards. So that'll be quite interesting to see once you you get this up here. But same board we're looking at before, so I'll just get us started, Ryan, if that's okay with you. Dalton Varsho has been injured most of the year, but when he's healthy, he's actually been productive in the power department. So he'll continue to rise up. He's 79th at the position right now, but overall going to struggle when he can't stay healthy. But then you got a little pocket here. William Abreu's 35th at the position. He was ADP 185. Alec Berylson, ADP 185. He's 12th at the position. And then Ian Happ, boring Ian Happ. We talked about it time and time again in the offseason. 194 ADP, 25th at the position, Ryan. So any thoughts on these guys right now as I look through my notes here? Because I want to mention something once I can find it.
I can hear the kerfuffling of your papers. Are you looking for Alec Burleson's first
base ranking? I got it right here. I found it. Yep. That's, he's a seventh at first base.
He's got a whole stack of papers. He's looking. What is he?
He's seventh at first base, 12th in the outfield.
Seventh at first base, 12th in the outfield. And
first base was rather loaded when we talked about it.
First base was very loaded. Okay, interesting. Again, you're probably starting two first basemen and you're starting five or six outfielders. So.
Well, Bowers is a first baseman too.
Yeah. Yeah, where is he? Where is he on your stack of papers there?
Let me get back to
it. No, I don't care. I just want to see.
You asked. I found it.
I just want to see.
He's 12th. 12th at first base.
All right.
You happy now?
That's good. I'm happy. That's Chandler Simpson is one of the polarizing guys. Good to check on him because like Abreu, Burles, and Happ, they're kind of boring. Yeah, they've been fine. Chandler Simpson is the one who was the polarizing one. 55th at the position, 202 overall so far this season at a pick of 195. So technically on par, though. I don't know. So much of this valuation is how bad did you need steals? How bad did you plan around stolen bases for Simpson? Started out looking just fine, but kind of famously had this stretch of has he stolen a base? Has the streak continued, or is he?
He woke up for a few games, but it's been pretty quiet again. It feels like
the other interesting thing with Chandler Simpson: 21 steals, but 11 caught stealing. Like he hasn't even been that good of a base stealer, and if that dries up at all, it's like. Then you've got absolutely nothing.
Yeah, if you look at Chandler Simpson, first month of the year, 314 average, 11 steals. In May, he hit 255 with three steals. In June, 211 with five steals. So far in July, in 15 plate appearances, hitting 467 with two steals. So maybe he's woken up again. But 278 with 21 steals, no home runs. Only like 16 RBI.
16 RBI for Chandler. It's a nothing power. It's a nothing – literally nothing in two categories. That's really hard. That's hard.
Then you got Adelis Garcia, who's done for the season. But then your boy, props to the all-star snub, Brian Reynolds. And I took him in some auctions because he was cheap and boring is beautiful so far. ADP of 208 for Brian Reynolds. He's 23rd overall, sixth at the position. He's the highest rated player at the position on the second sheet of outfielders, even counting potential breakouts.
Yep.
He is on fire, and he's ranked right behind Byron Buxton, to put it in perspective for you.
Yeah, I've taken L so far on this pod, but I will take a claim one here with Brian Reynolds. I liked him, certainly not to this degree. Did not think Brian Reynolds would be a top 30 player. Still don't think he ends up as a top 30 player, but this is someone who, again, just track record was there for so long, and he's not even that old. Like, I don't know. I think he was young enough to, but he just counted as a down year and go there. Yeah, 31 years old, Brian Reynolds. So
that's getting there.
That's ripe. By my team standards.
Yes, so, on your standards, it is.
Excellent year. Trout's right next to him, too, as a fellow old.
That's what I wanted to shout because like I was just anti because he hasn't stayed healthy. And sure, he's on the IL now, but he's 23rd at the position. He's hitting 234, which he hasn't hit better. It's been 234, 232, 220 the last 3 years. But we're seeing 17 homers and 7 steals. That's the most stolen bases he's had since 2019. And the 17 home runs, like if he could just get to 25, you're money ahead where he's drafted. He's going to be one of those. I'm really curious what the ADP will look like next year, but do we treat him like a Byron Buxton at this point? We're like, okay, he's going to get hurt, but based on price, is he worth it? And right now he's worth it. And so that'll be interesting to see where that pans out.
Yeah, fair comp to make. Are they – Trout's older, isn't he? Yeah, he's got to be older.
Trout's 34. Trout's 34.
But, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't – certainly when I would not count out Trout. The by far the biggest thing that I'm surprised at is the seven bags. I did not think Mike Trout would run anymore, could run anymore, but proven wrong there. And he's back imminently, right?
Supposed to be after the All-Star break, yeah. He's doing on-field stuff, so he should be back soon. They got Washington Nationals offense. So Daylen Lyles, 27th overall. That's panning out great. But pretty much if you're in that lineup almost every day, you're going to rank very highly on these things because they're just awesome. But then it gets murky again, Ryan. For 20 or 48 through 48 through 50 or whatever the heck. I can't even count right now. 48 through 60. Sorry. You got Barger, Stowers. Stowers is heating up. He was on the IL. Ramos is on fire. So he's coming off the IL. I'll give them both that. But then you got Caballero, Sal Ferrell, like we clowned on earlier, Willie Castro, Jordan Becks in AAA, Ramon Laureano's on the IL, Justin Crawford isn't who we thought he was, Jordan Lawler can't stay healthy, and then honestly, Kerry Carpenter is probably the most disappointing out of most of this group. Yeah. As you thought you were getting a platoon, a strong side power bat here, and he's 75th at the position.
And even carrying that to like the next 10 outfielders, been pretty much no production there. Not sure which ones I want to pick on here, but we'll say positive. I've already talked about Jose Caballero. That has worked out quite well, and the playing time has been there for Caballero. Justin Crawford, another youth that I speculated on, and that did not work. But yeah, a lot of these are just injury guys, or a lot of youths that just haven't worked out right with Jordan Beck, with Lawler, though, again, injuries. Even going to the next group here, like, there has been no one. This group you just rattled off from ADP 215, really no one else until Ryan O'Hearn, who triple dong tonight.
Ryan
at pick 288. Really nobody has really produced much there. Interesting to see. I guess two guys I'll call out. Chase DeLauder, for as hot as he started. I know he's been hurt a little bit. That's been fine. It's been fine.
The power dissipated. Like, it started out hot. Like, he was still playing well, but there was like no power.
That's another one. Like, you ride the hot streak early, but how quick did you jump off the Chase DeLauder train? Eventually you had to, because he got hurt. Another one I want to mention is Trent Grisham, pick 284 entering the season, overall 168. Writing him up for Baseball HQ right now. I think Grisham's in line for a pretty good second half. I think the power skills are still there, but yeah, that follow-up, along with, we talked about Springer earlier, some of these older breakouts, the following season has not been nearly as fruitful.
Yeah, and like, just to carry on, you mentioned 215 to 247, and then you mentioned like the next 10. It is almost all of them have had at least one IL stint, if not more.
Sure.
So that's a big factor. Now, were all of them playing well beforehand? No. Like, Stanton was on fire. We knew he'd get hurt eventually. I don't think he'd be out this long is the problem, but he was mashing before he got hurt. We'll see where that goes. But yeah, Ryan O'Hearn, 28th at the position, 79th overall, has been a gift from the gods. That's been beautiful. But then it's like, you got the soft spot, who's getting better. Evan Carter has been AAA. So those have been kind of rough. But then you got Carson Bench. He's 26th overall, and he's still playing really well. The Mets stuck with him. Then you got Jung Hoo Lee, who's 24th at the position. And then there's only one other guy. You mentioned Jake McCarthy as a breakout early. He's 15th overall. So they're top 40 guys, Benj, Lee, and McCarthy. You got them ADP 297 to 315, or some of them you got on your waiver wire. So I know, because I know like Lee was dropped early on because he struggled. But then since he's come back from the IL, he's been on fire, and he was picked up everywhere for that.
Yep, absolutely. But yeah, I think the broader takeaway here is, yeah, this was very much hit or miss, and mostly miss for outfielders. This is what your outfield four or five, you have probably moved on from a bunch of these guys that were going pick 230 to like 330, because really only a handful of them out of 25 have been positive for you.
Yeah, and then the last one I'll just throw out there, because I think people might have been kind of surprised he was going so late, but at the same time had higher expectations for it. Some people still do, is Cam Smith. His ADP is 320. Okay. 223 overall, so I guess he's technically played well enough. 59th at the position. Technically, he's played well because he's 78th on this board. So I just want to highlight that. In theory, you've gotten return for drafting Cam Smith. But like when you look at his stat line and his week to week, it's been very tough to start that guy.
Yeah, it has. And you look at the overall numbers, and yeah, it's been very rough lately for Cam Smith. Good call.
All right. So what do you got for the breakouts from 41 through 80?
That's a tough question, Bubba. Not as many, but Ezekiel Duran at 40. Antonacci, 41 outfielder. I feel like he should be higher, but I guess wasn't called up until, though he was called up pretty early, wasn't he?
Antonacci. Yeah, but it's not a lot of power. He's kind of just
that's true.
He's been really good for real life. For fantasy, it's been kind of hit and miss. Like I'll pull up his page real quick. When you look at him, it's
the batting average and steals for Antonacci have been there.
And 46 runs. So I think if he keeps this up, you're talking about a closer to 20.
Yeah. Oh man, Jordan Romano got another save tonight.
Price up.
Ryan Johnston at 45, batting average only pretty much. Dom Canzone at 49. And Owen Casey, 52, are your quote-unquote breakouts. But basically anyone drafted outside the top 80 who was a top 60 player at outfield.
Yeah, so before we get to relievers, there are some listener questions I want to hit on while we're talking outfielders here from the YouTube chat.
Sure.
Papa Bloom. Who are the other 8 outfielders in the top 20? Well, he was premature because he didn't wait for the next page. So we got you there, Papa. Yeah.
Those are the breakouts. Those were Jordan Walker, Brandon Marsh, Bowers, McCarthy, Schmidt, Jung-Hoo Lee, all top 25 outfielders.
Chasco says, any breakouts you guys don't believe in?
So of the breakouts I don't believe in, I will say Jake McCarthy, because we've seen how bad Jake McCarthy can be, and he could be that bad again. So I'll say Jake McCarthy.
I'm not worried about the skills. I think he actually is decent enough. I'm curious where he gets traded to and how that affects him more than
sure. Anything. Yeah. Good point.
That's going to happen. He's already been rumored that the Astros are already saying they're interested in him. So, like he'll start wherever he goes, but that whole dynamic could change things. Obviously, for me in this group. Like I'm always worried Bauer's going to come back to earth, but he's been good enough. I'll go with Cody Clemens just because it's been so good. He's been awesome.
Yeah.
But like we saw this at times last year, and then it just falls off the map when it falls off the map. So I'm going to go that direction. And then JD Bowles says, which breakout won't be there at the end of the season? So that's kind of what we just answered right there on that one.
Yep.
All right. Let's talk relief pitchers. Let's do it. This is going to be just a sea of green. Lots of green on this board. I'm quite surprised looking at this, but I guess it's in relation
So let's do do a quick disclaimer for this. The Fangraphs and valuations are I'm not clowning Fangraphs. The Fangraphs auction calculator or whatever for relievers is kind of screwed up. Like you've got random middle relievers who are really good you've got guys who have saves that are really far down. So I didn't feel like it was an accurate representation. So what I did instead of, and you're looking at the board for YouTube, instead of doing year-to-date rank on the player rater, I just did ERA and saves. Cause basically, I mean, you're just drafting closers for saves. I mean, yes. Like the strikeouts can help, the ratios can help, but I think it's a better learning to look at who got saves, and we'll just throw ERA on there for run prevention. So that's why you're seeing a bit more green than usual, is because we're looking at saves instead of ranking.
No, and it makes more sense. We've done these before, and we're always like, why are these guys? Like, I remember that year Ryan Walker wasn't the closer. We had like 8. Like Aaron Ashby's probably like a top 5 reliever, right?
Yeah, he's 11th. There, I forget who. I think Kevin Kelly was top 10. Just like. Okay.
This is a much better way to go about it. So that's why you're the brains behind the boards. Let's get to it. It's been kind of a conversation throughout the season, of course, that saves, where are you getting saves? It's a mess. It's a disaster. No one's getting saves. What are you doing on the waiver? It's a conundrum every fab period is where I'm going with this. Unless you drafted a couple. And it's actually funny It was so bad early on, but if you've been patient, things have slowly been coming around. That's where I was going with it. Because I've been noticing that just in general leagues. Like, even like I have David Bednar. He's got 17 saves now. Like, that hasn't sucked as much as it feels like it has because he's been so rocky at times. So that's why I think this board shows a lot of good, because basically if you drafted a closer in the top 50, all but one of them has you at least 13 saves, which and in this era of baseball is very good. So
this was surprising when I ran the board, and I'm glad you picked up on that. Again, you're a smart guy.
I sit and stare at numbers a lot for our stuff, yes.
for all the clamoring and all the, oh, don't pay for saves. Like, I actually think the early closers have been good, especially when you compare them to, okay, if you waited on saves and took some of these scrubs around like 100, 130, actually the best performing pocket of closers has been the early closers. Again, with the exception of Edwin Diaz, and maybe Devin Williams still has 13 saves for you. It's been 15 plus saves from every reliever except two that went in the top 50. And there are eight of those. So, like, in general, if you went early for saves, like, it actually kind of has worked out compared to the rest of the pool. Outside of that top eight, only one, two, three other closers drafted in the top 30 have 15 plus saves. So, I don't know. Like, it's just an interesting conversation. It like, I could make the argument that it actually has worked out to pay. Like, yes, you missed out on the opportunity cost of the pick, is that's a different conversation, but like, the best performing group of closers so far has been the early ones. We'll talk about the breakouts later. There actually haven't been that many breakouts. The breakouts that have hit, though, have been incredible. Huge. So that's really the big kind of differentiator there.
And I think that's why the conversation has been so crazy, is because of the breakouts have been so money and everyone's been bidding, and there seems like there's been more failures on the waiver wire than breakouts, but the breakouts have been tremendous, to your point. But like, I'm just going to add on to it. So yeah, Mason Miller, he's the GOAT, sub one ERA, 22 saves, second baseball in saves. But even if you had Edwin Diaz here, I know it's four saves. You can't predict the injury, because if you throw, I think Scott's got 12 saves or 13 saves. Now Edwin's creeping in on 16, 17 saves. Yeah. Like, you're, again, I know it's the old adage, you know, stick to the process. It was right. If you liked Edwin Diaz and you thought he was healthy and he was with the Dodgers, that's why he went so high, the saves have been there. That's been an option. You just got hurt. So that's something I don't get as mad about as compared to, like, if a guy just busts. Like, Palencia, three saves. Yeah, he's been hurt, but the Cubs just haven't got saves.
Yeah,
so that one just
even argue, like, he's got a 2.7. How do you have a 2.70 ERA with three saves? Yeah. And, like, healthy for a good chunk of the first half. It's crazy.
So I know I've kind of skipped it, but it's like Miller, Kate Smith, the beast. Like, I loved him all draft season. Duran's awesome. You got Munoz, Williams, Bednar, Chapman. Did you want to talk about any of them, like, outside of high ERAs for Munoz and Williams? To me, the fact they all have 13 plus saves, they're doing great. You have no complaints. You've never sat them anyways. So, like, do you have anything on the big dogs?
No, not really. No, you could quibble at the ERA for Munoz and Williams, but they still have the job. And given the relative low number of innings pitched, those ERAs have not. Yeah, they've hurt a little bit, but they haven't crushed you. So big thing is they have the job still.
Yep. So then it goes to Helsley, who's been hurt, and that's just been a disaster all around. Like, early in the year, looked really good, and then just went downhill in a hurry. Hoffman's where it gets shaky. ADP 79, 4.42 ERA, five steals. He was at closer, out, back in, he's out. He pitches better every time he's in the eighth. He's pitching great again right now, setting up. He ain't losing that job to a guy we're going to talk about later, let's put it that way. But, that's been one to keep in the record books for you.
Yeah, that has been bad. Raisel Iglesias next up, though, has been awesome.
Consistency. Just do it.
It's pretty fascinating to compare Iglesias with
Kenley.
No, who's the other Braves guy? Robert Suarez.
Oh, yeah.
At ADP 214, Iglesias was 86. I remember those guys being closer together, but I mean, Robert Suarez has been 0.56 ERA. But it's pretty clear that Iglesias is the capital G guy in Atlanta.
And he only had two saves in June. Let that sink in.
Yeah.
You got Pete Fairbanks. That's been a rocky road between the IL and just other appearances. He's got the 12 saves, but he has been on the struggle bus there.
And it is a 7 ERA. Like, that not only does hurt a little bit with your overall team ratios, but I guess the Marlins don't really have, not to besmirch the name of the good doctor, but it's not like the Marlins really have any options. But like, at a 7 ERA, like, yeah, you're starting to get concerned about job security.
Yeah, then ADP, well, now that's inside the top 100 were all of those picks. So keep that in mind. But now we get to 106 and 110. Emilio Pagan, he's been hurt. Ryan Walker stinks. So that wraps up the first half of the board. Let's get to Kenley Jansen. This one's been interesting because he was locked in. Things were good. And now it's been really bumpy since then.
Very bumpy since, but again, has the job. 10 saves, you want a little bit more, but you technically did wait for Jansen. Maybe he was your second closer, or you know, if he was your RP1, you waited there. And yeah, you're not thrilled with it, but Jansen still technically has the job. Hasn't been good, but hasn't been, you know, take him over Helsley, Hoffman, or Walker. So I don't know. Not Kenley's finest compared to previous seasons, but still has the job, and that is everything for relievers, unless he gets traded or loses the job. But
yeah, and that's the one thing I'm wondering, though, is he going to lose the job? Because he didn't have any saves for a while, then he got the save on Sunday. It's been a weird...
Who's he going to lose
last, like, it week to, and though, a half. Like, but is he going to share it more, I guess is what I'm saying. It's been... Yeah. That's the question I have. Trevor McGill is awesome. That was the debate, him and Uribe. I felt like they were closer together as well, like going right next to each other. But McGill at ADP 126, ERA of 3, save 14 saves. He's been locked in for like a month now. Like, he's been the guy. Abner had his run. Then he chopped, did the old DX'd.
Said, yeah, that up? Ruined his fantasy value.
And we never saw him again. Never saw him again.
No, he got a save today, yesterday or today, right?
No letter. But after that, after the crotch chop, Uribe lost his job. And McGill has not given it back. That's one of the crazier moments, honestly, because it felt like it was more a rebase job, at least 50-50 split. Crotch chop, lost the job.
Yeah. Keep that in mind, kids, when you want to crotch chop. There are ramifications. But yeah, the correct answer was Trevor McGill, and Trevor McGill looks awesome. Yeah, again, even Uribe's been good. We were never doubting the skills of Uribe. We're paying this steep price for someone who at best has a 50-50 shot at the job. So 2.78 ERA, 5 saves for Uribe. Like, that kind of works. But McGill has been awesome, and he has been the guy.
Yep, 19 of his last 20 outings, he has not allowed a run. So that'll keep you in the ninth.
Yep.
Then the good one here, Josh Hader. Everyone was like, are you paying the price? Are you paying the price? If you did and you waited, the dude's been back for, I think, less than a month. He's got a 0.6 ERA and 9 saves. Like, he is almost in the top half of saves, and he missed most of the season.
Yeah, and trending, like, the Astros are playing much better. Hader looks he just looks dominant right now. This could be 2025 save season for Hader. And I don't know if I have a takeaway from that. Am I going to draft a closer who's going to be out the first 2 months of the season again, especially an older one? Probably not, but it has worked out for Josh Hader.
Yes, it's worked out in a big, big way. And now it gets messy. Dennis Santana, he's lost the job. Ooh. Carlos Estevez, we might never see him pitch again.
That Estevez is the rarest of red steak. He broke the scale.
A 162, not 1.62, not 16. 162.00 ERA.
Yeah. What, he pitched like an inning?
It still stands there. It's unbelievable. Like, that cow's mooing.
Oh yeah, it is. It is still alive. Yeah, 0.1 innings. He's got, Carlos Estevez has one out on the season, and has given up 6 runs with one out. That is how you get to 162 ERA, people. That's impressive. Yeah,
it's very impressive. And they got Sir Anthony, who still is in the closing role, but it's been ugly. And he was kind of one of those, you know, Santana was in that pocket, Sir Anthony was in that pocket of, let's get a cheap guy as our RP2. And that's kind of where most people circled. And neither, I guess Santana's, or Dominguez is technically paying off, but it's not been pretty.
Yeah. Agreed. I guess you take it compared to our guy Estevez here, or Dennis Santana, some of the guys we'll talk about next. But And the other thing, like this might end at 12 saves for Sir Anthony. Like
it's gone on long enough.
Yeah, it has.
I'm just glad I was never a Estevez. That's fine. And then, yeah, Brian Abreu. I liked Abreu, but the price was too steep for me because there's a lot of questions to be had there. But he's picked up five saves for you. You mentioned Abner Uribe earlier. You mentioned Robert Suarez. And then it just gets down to some other murky spots like Robert Garcia, Kirby Yates. And then I'll stop there before we get any farther.
No, just a whole crop of pitchers from ADP 150 to 250 that had – yeah, did not get you saves, have a handful of saves or less. And it hurts even more because these next two, even three relievers that have been absolute breakouts.
Yeah, Paul Sewald, ADP 269, has 20 saves. Riley O'Brien, ADP 280, has 22 saves. There are only five pitchers in baseball right now with 20 or more saves. Two of them came at ADP 269 and 280. There's a couple that weren't even drafted that are darn close, but... These are two of the five 20 plus save guys. And I wasn't on Paul Sewald at all. I was on Riley O'Brien. I wish I stuck on him more. But that one so far so good on those two.
Yeah, this was tough. I was on, instead of Sewald and O'Brien, and this was similar ADP, similar auction prices, I went Robert Garcia in Texas. I thought he would have the job. And that has cost me 20 saves or 22 saves. So yeah, Sewald kind of came on late. In spring training was very, very hot at the end. So this ADP, probably, I know he was going, I don't know, Vegas auctions. I think he went for $5 in mine. I know because I was trying to get him, but he was still like, he was reserve round before that. So Sewald was rising and Riley O'Brien was interesting. We all thought the Cardinals were going to be so bad. There'd be no save opportunities. And then there was a thing about O'Brien not being the guy, and the Cardinals have been decent enough to get Riley O'Brien 22 saves, and he's looked really good.
And then to wrap things up, Clayton Beter, he's still the closer. He was on the IL, and
yeah,
he hasn't been the full time. He's basically like the 80% guy. The Gus Bus had his moments. He's in AAA now, but Beter, seven saves, ERA 3. And then Lucas Irsegg, because most people saw the Estevez writing on the wall even before the season started, ADP 341. He picked up 12 saves, but now he's deceased as well.
Yep, and I think a general takeaway here is I know we love to say there is the narrative out there, get your saves later because you can get a Paul Sewald or a Riley O'Brien. You can, but there's a whole lot of crap around them that did not work out at all, and saves on the wire, as we'll get to here next. While the hits have hit really well, there have not been that many hits.
Yeah, not that many hits. So, why don't you let us know what some of these breakouts are, because they have, like you said, the ones that did hit, three of them are in the top four is what I'll just say.
Yeah. So, and again, this is Fangraphs Player Rater. I just pulled these from their, year-to-date ranks. But Jacob Latt's number one overall reliever per the Fangraphs Player Rater. Again, you can quibble with the actual ranking, but Jacob Latz has been freaking amazing. Louis Varland, number three overall reliever, and Brian Baker, number four overall reliever. So yes, arguably three of the like top five relievers were undrafted, pretty much. Maybe Baker got some late picks, but these guys were undrafted entering the season, and three of them are top five closers. So that's the, like, again, there hasn't been really Tanner Scott. I don't have listed for some reason. I guess he's just lower on the player rater, but that has been a good pickup to give you credit. Andy Ashby is 11th on the rater. That's just a fluky amount of wins that I don't think anyone really had on their rosters either. So I don't know, man. I'm curious what you think. Cause like I've seen this in, all year throughout the Fab previews, is like, there just has not been many opportunities to get good relievers. The ones who have hit have been really good, but they're just that, I don't know. It's not a widespread.
No, it's pure speculation. So, like, I pulled up the season, like, just the saves leaderboards. Like, you mentioned Latz. He has 18 saves. Louis Varland, 18 saves. That's been awesome. Tanner Scott's had 12. So, that's been your next best waiver wire pickup. Gregory Soto has 11, if you want to look that direction. But, it gets Yoendris Gomez has 9. He might get closer to 20 by the end of the season. That's your guy. Alex Lang has 8. I don't see that changing. He should have that role for a while. Caleb Killian has 8, but he's also killed your ratios along the way. But then it's just a bunch of like Joe Cunnell at six, Hogan Harris at six, Gus Varland at six, Brian King at six. So my point is, before I read more and more, it is a slew of guys just peppering things that we've bid on, we've dropped, we've bid on again, so on and so forth. To your point, I'm echoing your point from earlier. It's like just going off the board. There's really only like three guys that have been there for a while. There's maybe three or four that I mentioned that if they keep the job, and right now it looks like they should, they'll get some run to get you close to 20. But then there's just this mess between Oakland, the and you just go like there's probably seven teams. The White Sox are about to be one. Like there's a bunch of them that they can't, the Cubs, they can't make up their mind on what's going on. And that's making the conversations that are being had, that's why they're being had. It's because there's probably like six or seven teams that haven't been able to get it together this season.
And those fab bids are pricey. Some of them can, are pricey, those failed ones. Like, and that stuff does add up over the course of a season. So I don't even know if I'm like, to kind of wrap up relievers, like I don't even know if I'm moving off my stance to not take relievers early. Like I don't know. We have the second half to see how it all shakes out. But again, pretty stable up top, and a few hits, but it's been pretty rough on the wire. If you did not get one of Baker, Lats, or Louis Varland. So
I think what I've been trying to do, and it's I've stuck to it for the most part. Like I didn't overbid for Wells, and I needed him in certain leagues. But I go back to what Mike Megger said at FPAS when he won his latest overall in the auction championship. It's he gets like that one elite, and then he goes and gets the lower tier guy. And then he doesn't go bidding crazy early, but it's like the second half, you can play and get a bunch of guys for 10 to 15 bucks and get like three or four saves and just keep playing that way. And in the end, you'll probably have more saves than if you wasted all your money early, if that makes sense.
It does.
And we've played this game long enough. He's obviously not wrong. We're going to see this. And I just mentioned like four teams that'll probably do that for us. And so if you can play that game, now you still got to outbid your league. But if you have the money to do so, it's why you could either go two studs early or one stud and play the game the rest of the way and see where it goes. Just depends on your style, because just the waiver wires sucks to do that with. Griffin Jackson's mentioned I remember auctioning him in Vegas, and now I wish I still had him because I could use a starting pitcher like that. But that's a whole other discussion.
He was presumably dropped before.
Yeah, no, I dropped him a long time before that, and was the right move for a long time.
Yeah.
But that was frustrating as well.
Yep.
All right, got some listener questions from the old Discord here. Ben Bingham says, have these been two of the wire positions? If so, or if not, does that affect your drafts next season? Kind of hit on that, especially with both, Ryan.
Yeah, kind of hit on that. I would say outfield's been better in terms of just more guys you've been able to get on the wire. Again, it's a totally different position, but you haven't really had the impact guys at outfield like you have had at reliever. So both have been pretty fruitful, just a different kind of shape of the curve, I guess, between the two positions.
Yep, fully agree. We hit on that quite a bit on the show. Our buddy Canton Dog. do you think PCA and James Whittle have second half swoons like they did last year? I'm not rooting for guys to have swoons, so I'm going to say no.
I'll root for a James Wood swoon. I've had a tough year. I could use a win in a league or something. No, I don't.
They're fun
think
to watch, man. They're
yeah,
fun
they
to
are.
Watch. I want to see it keep going.
Anytime, I think they're exciting as hell to watch too. So I know I like my olds, but from a pure baseball watching perspective, it's cool to see these guys do their thing. And the thing that tipped off PCA was that the heckler.
The SBD. Right. He got the opposite chalk block. He actually, the crotch chop, he actually got things going after that.
He did. The anti-Abner.
Goes to show you. Yeah, don't do the crotch chop. Just tell him what you want. Apparently,
and also
answer.
Don't.
Kidding.
Yeah.
Kidding. No. Full kid.
Also not condoning PCA's behavior.
Yeah, full kid. Just, if you stuck around this long in the show, you know how goofy I get around here. Adam W says, any hope for Kyle Tucker second half turnaround? I don't know what to think, honestly. I'd love to see it. He's not hurt apparently, but he does not look like anything close to the guy we've seen before.
Yeah, that's the only thing, is some kind of hidden injury, which we've seen with Kyle Tucker before. I will always lean on the track record. I'm not going to say Kyle Tucker's going to be fine, but I have hope for him.
I'm hoping he is, because I've always been a team Kyle Tucker, but like I said, I just haven't seen anything worth getting excited about right now, which is the frustrating part.
Very fair.
SMMS79 says, why even spend time researching early pitchers beyond manager trends going forward when thinking about future drafts? Take one early. It doesn't matter who. Then just throw your dart later and pray you hit. That's kind of where I usually am.
It's pretty hitter. Yeah. And even trying to analyze like reliever skills, it's just, I mean, these reliever seasons are like 60 innings. Like, they're just so volatile anyway. I think it's far more important to look at manager tendencies, team context, and also like just like where you don't like other spots in the draft. Maybe you just grab your closer there and just hope it works out.
Yep, totally agree. All right, we'll wrap it up there. We'll be back with you guys Thursday to kind of do a Fab preview the best we can and talk about some more midterms. But any final thoughts as we wrap up outfield and relief pitchers?
Oh, good show tonight. Thanks for hanging out in the chat, everyone. And we will see you Thursday.
Yep, we'll be back at it once again. But until then, check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Intrick. This was Bubba the Bloom, episode 362. Catch y'all next time.